Welcome, everyone, to the Beast Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's lovely to see all your faces this beautiful day. I am Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined and facilitating by Liz Gannon-Graydon, who's also on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. The Peace Alliance empowers civic action toward a culture of peace, and these Hope Story Circles have provided a space for people to share their emerging stories. And we have our special guest today, Mike Robbins, who is going to start us off. Mike is a former professional baseball player and an author and a speaker. He's quite an extraordinary fellow, and we're so glad to have you here today with us, Mike. How are you?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about what took you into professional sports.
Well, actually inspired by my mother, who was an athlete herself and raised me and my sister as a single mom and taught me how to play baseball as a kid. And I was pretty good at it and ended up getting drafted out of high school by the New York Yankees.
But wow.
Yeah, I didn't sign with the Yankees though, Terry, because I got a chance to play baseball in college at Stanford. And then was able to get my education and play baseball and then got drafted by the Kansas City Royals out of Stanford, which is another one of our pro baseball teams here in the U.S. And I did end up signing a pro contract and played for a few years. Unfortunately, I ended up getting injured. I was a pitcher and I tore ligaments in my elbow. So it took my life in a very different direction. But I basically played baseball from the age of 7 until I was 23 when I got hurt and 25 when I finally retired after a series of surgeries.
Wow. Injuries happen a lot in professional sports.
Very true. Very, very true.
Not uncommon.
Yeah.
And what took you into writing books? You have 5 books you've written at this point.
Yeah. Well, I spent a couple years after baseball working in the tech world. I live out here in the Bay Area in California. But I had become fascinated by 2 things when I was an athlete, Terry. One thing I was fascinated by is that it wasn't always the most talented people that seemed like they were the most successful, and it wasn't always the most successful people that seemed like they were actually the happiest and most fulfilled. Mm. So I was curious about that. And I was also fascinated by group and team dynamics because it seemed like there was more than just, you know, again, talent and skill involved in creating a great team and really bringing people together in sports. But I saw that in business and in life. And so about 20 years ago, I decided, I think I want to study these things more. And I have something to say, so I'm going to try to write about them and speak about them and see if anyone will pay attention. And so that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years.
That's terrific. You and I could talk for days about team coaching, but we're not going to do that now.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here again. It's great to see you. And yes. Let's hand it off to Yelena to start us off with a short meditation, and then we'll get into the story that you'd like to share today.
Sounds good.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to some of you. Welcome, Mike. And yeah, let's start by stilling ourselves and just kind of welcoming your full self into this moment. Perhaps, you know, grounding your feet on the floor. Noticing where your body is making contact with the surface you're sitting on. And allowing your mind to rest in awareness of inviting gentleness and ease into this moment. And sometimes helps to anchor our awareness into things that we can listen in our environment. So I'm actually going to invite you into a mindfulness of sound practice. And just take a moment to listen to the sounds you might hear at a distance. the sounds come to you, not particularly seeking for any sounds, but just allowing sounds to come into your awareness. If they are present, and if you notice that your mind wanders, just gently and kindly come back. And see if you can follow a sound from the moment it starts till the moment it dissipates. I invite you to pay attention to the sounds in your environment, in the environment you are in. You're close to the close-up sounds. Maybe you want to put a label on it and say sound, or maybe something more specific like fan or clock or even silence. Next, I invite you to gently cover actually your ears and listen to the sounds that are inside you, to the sound of your heartbeat. To the sound of life beating inside you. And as I ring the chime to bring us back, just listen to the sound of the chime from the moment it starts till the moment it ends. Welcome, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Yelena. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm feeling more peaceful and grounded after that, for sure. Thank you for inviting me, Terry and Judy and Yelena and Liz and the whole team. It's an honor to be here. I've been connected with the Peace Alliance, my wife Michelle and I, since back in 2003, and had a chance to serve on the Peace Alliance board with Judy. And it's just great to be here. And on this this morning here, I'm in California. You may be wherever you are around the country, around the world, or listening to this after the fact. I woke up this morning feeling sad. And I had one of those moments, maybe some of you couldn't relate to this morning or just in general, where the news of yesterday with Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing away, I woke up and I had that thought right when I woke up this morning, wait, did that really happen or was that just a bad dream? And as the reality hit me that no, it wasn't a bad dream and it actually happened. And for any of you who may be in another country or in a different place in the world or have somehow missed the news, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, an icon, only the second female Supreme Court justice in the United States, and just a a warrior for change and for justice and for so many things. She passed away at the age of 87 last night. And in the midst of everything that's going on in our country and our world and everything that we've all been dealing with for the last 6 months, it just sort of felt like, could this possibly be true? And as I've been sitting with that this morning, I've also been thinking about her and my mother, who I referenced a few minutes ago as I was, Terry was asking me about my baseball career. And so the story I want to share is actually about my mom, related to RBG, but related to perseverance and resilience for all of us. You know, so my mom passed away back in 2011, but my mom raised me and my older sister as a single mom. And I mean, the best way I can describe my mother, and pardon the expression, is my mom was just a badass. Like, she was just this strong, powerful feminist woman who taught me so many things, and I didn't even realize some of the things she was teaching me at the time. I'm 46 years old, so I was born in 1974, and in 1984, when Geraldine Ferraro was picked as the first female vice presidential candidate on a major party ticket here in the United States, my mom took me and my sister out of school the day she came to speak in Oakland, the town that I grew up in, so we could go see her speak in front of Oakland City Hall. And I remember, even at 10 years old, asking my mother, why are we doing this? I mean, I was happy to get out of school, but like, I didn't really understand it. My mom said, this is important. This is important. You need to be here and pay attention and listen to what this woman is saying and see this woman up in front of all of us, because this is important. And, you know, for a lot of my life growing up, women like Susan B. Anthony, women like Gloria Steinem, women like Angela Davis, Billie Jean King were spoken about in my house with reverence, with, you know, that these were important, powerful leaders in our country here in America, but just in the world, that needed to be listened to. And that was how I was raised. And as the father of two daughters who are 14 and 12, the conversations that we had with them last night about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and trying to put into context a bit about her life, not being able to fully do justice to it. But as I think about this, and I think about my mother, there was a moment in early 2011, this was just a little less than 10 years ago, our girls were very young, we were going through a challenging time at our house. It was the economic downturn of 08, 09, 2010 had really impacted my business and our lives in a pretty significant way. We were facing the possibility of losing our home and just grappling with that. And then my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine right as this was happening. And I was sitting in my car in the parking lot about to go in to speak at this event that they had hired me to speak. It was a big deal. I couldn't care less because I just was sort of feeling the weight of everything. And I'm talking to my friend Theo on the phone. And I remember saying to him, Theo, man, I don't know if I can handle this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to deal with all of this. Like, everything that's going on with the family and financially. And now my mom is sick. And this is like, I couldn't, my mother, who was just like, you know, one of the strongest human beings I'd ever met. Like, it's not possible that she could be sick. It's not possible that she could die. And Theo said something to me, listened to me really compassionately, but he said to me in that moment something that really spoke to me and I never forgot. He said, Mike, I know this is hard. I know you're scared. He said, but it's really important to remember that you have more than this requires. And I remember when he said it, like, I didn't even believe him, but I trusted him because I knew, you know, he wasn't trying to mess with me. He just was trying to remind me. He said, look, you have persevered through 100% of every challenge that you've ever faced in your life up to this point. There's no reason to believe that that's not the case here. And I know that this is hard and I know that this is scary and I know that this is big, but you have to remember that you have more than this requires. And I got off the phone with Theo, I wiped the tears off my face, and I walked into that room, wherever, I think I was speaking at a conference for AOL or something that day, and I But I remember going home that night and talking to Michelle, my wife, and in the coming weeks and months, as we went through that experience, and my mom did get really sick and she did pass away, and it was incredibly painful. And here I am almost 10 years later. And as I look back on that time in my life personally and think about my mom and think about all that we went through, I can see that not only was Theo right, that I did have more than was required to meet that moment, it actually ended up being an incredibly transformational moment for me personally, for our family. And there was so much growth and so much beauty that came out of even that difficult, challenging experience. And I think for all of us, whether it's how we may be feeling this morning or today as we grapple with the news of the loss of somebody like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as we face what's going on here in the United States and around the world politically and socially, as we all grapple with the reality of the pandemic and all the different ways that it's impacted us and the humans that we interact with, that we see on the news, there's just so many ways in which, yes, there's a lot of loss. Yes, there's a lot of grief. Yes, there's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of uncertainty. But there's something within us as human beings, both individually and also collectively, that's incredibly resilient, incredibly powerful. I mean, if I had said to each and every one of all of you on this call live and anybody who's listening to the recording of this after the fact, if we'd had a conversation in, let's say, January or February, and I said, hey, guess what's about to happen over the next 7 or 8 months? First of all, you would have thought I was crazy. And second of all, you would have said, there's no way all of that could happen. And if that did happen, it would be a catastrophe, the likes of which we'd never seen, and we wouldn't be able to function. And without minimizing the challenge that we've all been facing, personally and collectively, like, here we are, right? We're here today. What's the date? What is it? The 19th of September. Who knows what day it is, right? But here we are, like, we're alive. We're connecting. We're focused on, you know, Yelena just brought us into that really beautiful, peaceful place of the present moment. And we're here connecting with each other about hope, about peace, about transformation, about what's possible. And I think there's a way not to minimize or diminish or sugarcoat any of the severity of what's going on, and not to take away any of the pain or the fear or the sadness or even the anger. But I think this moment, and if we use Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her incredible life as an example, like, what would she want us to do? How would she want us to show up? What would she want us to say? What actions would there be for us to take? And I think, as I've been thinking about this, not just today and in the last 24 hours and all the emotion that I'm experiencing, but over the last 6 months, in the face of all that's gone on, is continuing to remind myself of that conversation that Theo and I had all those years ago, that I and we have more than this requires, even and especially when we don't think that we do. And it's part of why we come together in community. It's part of why we connect with each other, to remind each other. It doesn't mean we have to do it all alone. It doesn't mean that we're somehow isolated, even though we may be sheltered in place and in our homes, you know, the vast majority of the time these days. Like, we have this beautiful community right here. We have access to being able to connect with so many incredible people all over the world at any moment. I mean, I've been saying for a number of months, imagine if it were, you know, 1975 right now. Like, we'd have to sit at home and write each other letters and, like, maybe talk on the phone at best. But we have this incredible, as annoying and challenging as Zoom can be, how amazing is it that we can have this conversation with people all over the world? And so I share all of this from my own experience and my own story, and just invite you to think of a couple things as we kind of move into an inquiry for ourselves. But number one, to think of things that you have faced in your life up to this point, that when you faced them, you didn't think you had what was required to move through whatever it was. We've all had many experiences, I'm assuming, like that, both individually for ourselves and maybe collectively for our families or our communities or our countries, that the thought initially is, there's no way, I can't deal with this. This is too big. This is too much. And the fact that we're still here is proof that it wasn't too much. We figured out a way through it. And not only did we survive, but we were able to thrive and learn and grow in the process. And then the second part of that inquiry too is the, like, what's required of me in this moment? Because there's a reason why you're on this call. There's a reason why you're part of this community and this network. And there's a reason why you're committed to peace and to growth and to having an impact on the country and the world in which you live. Not because it's easy, not because it's always fun, not because there's always a clear path to here's how we do it, but because it matters. And, you know, like the incredible life of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, like you're committed to, I'm committed to, we're all committed to something more than just simply ourselves. And so with that, I think we're going to go into some breakout rooms here, so we can have some deeper conversations. But I just want to check with Yelena and Liz and Terry and make sure I sort of framed up those questions and those inquiries correctly so we can have that conversation in small groups and then come back together and talk about it.
Mike, those are the questions as you were talking. Those are the questions I'm actually writing. So it's fantastic. So yeah. Yes.
Agreed. Okay. Agreed.
Perfect.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. So we are going to go into breakout rooms. I'm going to pause the recording and then start it again when we come back together. Welcome back, everyone. It's good to see your faces. So, who would like to share? What's alive for you after sharing that time in your room? You may unmute yourself and let us know what you have to say.
You know, in our group, we did talk about the things in our lives that are challenging for us, but we didn't really get to the question of what's required of me in this moment. And I just want to share that with the whole group, to be the peace. It's never been more required than now. And what I've discovered is that when I do my very best to be the peace, it starts to reflect back to me in people and situations around me. And it's like, I didn't cause that to happen. It was just, it was there and I didn't see it. Mm. And it's sort of a paradoxical thing. And so what's required of me now is to sit and wait and listen. Mm. And that's very hard. Because I'm a doer, I'm a fixer, I want to make it right now. Mm-hmm. And wow. Mm. I have so much baggage around that, you know.
Mm. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Kate, I see you have your hand raised. Go ahead and unmute.
Thank you. Thank you all for giving me a space to gather in this morning. I appreciate it as always. Okay, so last night I was sitting in a lot of prayer and reflection, and I lit candles and just held space. And I come from Jewish background, I have Jewish heritage, I am non-practicing, but last night was also Yom Kippur. And so I decided in honor of Ruth to just dig a little deeper and sit with this aspect of my faith spectrum that I really don't visit that often. And one of the things that came up to me while I was sitting is that what is required in this moment of new year, right, in this moment of transition, is not only atonement, but also forgiveness and healing of past relationships that have been damaged or a rift. So when that came up, I have one particular relationship in my life currently right now where I was like, all right, I know I need to work on this. This will help me pave the path for that. But then also in the larger spectrum of our world right now, where things are so divisive and we feel that we are on sides of humanity, right? Which that to me is always kind of a warning. I feel very strongly that what is being asked of all of us, all of humanity in this moment, is to find our commonality and to find our forgiveness and to find our healing. And I just hope, and I'm putting my energy around that right now. So, you know, and I look at a woman who gave 87 years of her life towards equity. And I think that this is something that she would want all of us to be working toward too. So that's what I have.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you all.
I'd like to say that I think we all have heard that her last words were that her most fervent hope was that she not be replaced until a new president is installed. I find that astounding that she used the tradition of honoring a person's last words as her Hail Mary pass, her last ditch effort to say, you know, this is what I want. She didn't speak about herself to give a legacy. She didn't speak about, you know, speak to a family member. She said those are she wanted those to be published as her last words, as a way to tell people, this is what you better do. Mm-hmm. And I find that astounding that she did that for all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she played every single card she was dealt on our behalf. And I think that is an extremely inspiring thing we should take away from her death.
Thank you, Nancy.
You know, I shared this in the small group, Terry, that I was in, and reflecting being here this morning with all of you and thinking about Judy and Joel and Terry and all the wonderful people that Michelle and I have known over the last, you know, 17 years as part of the Peace Alliance community. And, you know, we came to this work because Michelle and I both realized we were fighting against, at the time, the war in Iraq. And what we felt was, yes, we were against that, but we wanted to shift our attention to, well, what is it we want? We want peace. And how do we cultivate peace? We don't cultivate peace by fighting with people all the time. And to me, it feels like we're in a moment right now to what Kate was just speaking of, that there are a lot of fights going on, and there are a lot of really important fights. But I think of something that Marianne Williamson would say all the time, and she would quote Dr. King, and it's probably my favorite Dr. King quote, and that is, we have no morally persuasive power with those who can feel our underlying contempt for them. And I find myself in this moment struggling because I have a lot of contempt in this moment. And I know that that's not only not peaceful for me, but that's not effective in really making the kind of change we want to make, whether it's in the United States or in the world, is by demonizing other people and telling them that they're wrong and they're bad and they're stupid and that what they think is incorrect. And so I'm looking for in myself that my prayer is, how do I rise above that and not step away from the fight, not step away from the work that needs to be done, but go higher, go deeper, go at it from a place that really is about doing what's true and what's real, and not simply just trying to win and prove that my side's right and the other side's wrong, because that's not what this work is all about anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Mike. We have time for one more share. Itaf, would you like to speak?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, buddy. Good evening, good morning. Just like from yesterday, we locked down for 3 weeks, and just at home, we couldn't move out the house, only 1,000 meter. And yeah, and I'm at home. Just like I used to be creative and to paint and to also to do this work to do a Zoom. Yeah. Since the COVID, I say like I create also group like that every Sunday. We have open space to open for people to share to can share stories and to share from this time and just to support each other. Yeah, and I live in Haifa and it's close to the beach and I can go to the beach and just, yeah, and this is what, But I enjoy every moment. Like I look from the balcony and I take photo of the sunset and yeah, and also I'm painting and also I paint like my source. This is the stones down. This is my source.
That's
what I have, my source, yes. And here my wishes to the next year. You know, we have like, it's for the Jewish highlight holiday, it's Rosh Hashanah. And also we celebrate all, me, I'm celebrate all the holidays.
Mm.
Yeah, and yeah, this is what I face in this time.
That's beautiful, Ita. Thank you for sharing your
heart. Thank you.
Well, with that, I think we're going to start to bring it to a close. The Peace Alliance has a couple of really exciting things coming up. Tomorrow, Sunday, we're starting our Advocacy Days, which is virtual this year. And we're starting with a speaker series that's going to extend over a period of 6 hours tomorrow. I'm going to put the link and the information into the chat. We have speakers, Marianne Williamson, Representative Barbara Lee, Ambassador Chowdhury, Azim Kamisa, former Representative Dennis Kucinich, Rita Marie Johnson, Dot Maver, and more. I mean, there's, I think, a dozen speakers speaking tomorrow. So I invite all of you to join us, and you need to register for that one. So you need to click on the link to get to the registration link. We also are continuing to promote our Blueprint for Peace, which is throughout Advocacy Days in particular, to encourage your elected officials and your people who are running for office to click on the Blueprint and join us with that. Also, just the Peace Alliance website and the Peace on Podcast channel, which is where the podcasts are that these calls and others are a part of. And we are obviously a small nonprofit, and we appreciate donations of any size at any time. So the donation link is there. We greatly appreciate you being with us today. And thank you so much, Mike. Really appreciate your being here. And Liz, I'm going to ask you to wrap it up for us and bring it to a close.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Mike, I'm inspired in my closing this morning by three things. Your opening conversation with Terry, your story about your mom, and something that my 18-year-old son said to me at 1 o'clock this morning, my time. Mike, I'm a huge sports fan, right? I love every sport. And when I was little, my beloved father, who was a civil rights activist, we watched every sport together. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized that my father taught me about society through sports. Right, when we watched tennis, he talked about Billie Jean King and Arthur Ashe. When we watched, and my father, who was a peaceful man, we watched Muhammad Ali. And that was our time together. And I realized he taught me about society. And as a matter of fact, I remember him teaching us on purpose. You can tell who are the people who feel most left out of society by looking at the boxing champions over the decades. He said in the 20s, it was the Irish and kind of the new immigrants, right? And then he said, because it was literally a way to fight your way into kind of respect in society. Uh-huh. But very early on, I picked two sports that were my favorite, and they were baseball and tennis. And I think maybe baseball, because it was my dad's favorite, and tennis, as a budding feminist, I realized about tennis, it was the only sport in which women occupied the same place on the sports page that the men did, right? Billie Jean King was as important or more important than Jimmy Connors. But as I got older, I realized that they had something else in common. And tennis and baseball, unlike a lot of other sports, the clock doesn't run out on you. If you hit the next ball, you get to keep playing. And that was a really powerful thing for me, especially as someone who believed in justice. I was like, if you get up and you hit that next ball, you get to keep playing. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, when I was watching coverage with my son about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we were feeling a little let down and bereft, he said to me, I'm gonna quote him. He said, "Don't you think this year is really testing our willpower? Every time we adjust to something, the year is like, let's see what else they can take." And when you pose the question, Mike, about what is required of us in this moment, I thought maybe all that's required of us is to take whatever's thrown about us and just hit that next ball back into play, right? And especially in baseball, you have a whole team who are already there to help you. And I thought maybe that's enough. Maybe we don't have to think too long term. Maybe we can just kind of look at the people who show up and say, I'm just going to hit the next ball back into play and trust that it's kind of the right play. So I'm really thankful to you, Mike, for your story and the beautiful story of your mom and your life of service. I'm always thankful to my co-facilitators, Terry and Yelena, and for you guys who keep showing up. And so I think what I'm going to take into this next week is whatever's thrown at me, I just want to try to make the next right hit back into play and know that you guys are all out there helping do the work too. So I want to thank you guys and send you off to the week with like a lot of love and feelings for kind of one play at a time.
Wonderful. Thanks,
thanks.
Everyone feel free to unmute yourselves and say goodbye. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.